What is going on? Welcome to Something New. This is the first episode of the Why We Create podcast, where we bring the coolest creatives slash creators as guests and really dig into the question, why we create. I'm your host, Elvin Atwine, and I'm so happy to be here. This podcast, by the way, is brought to you by Clora, which is a client billing app for creators that is free and currently available in the App Store that allows you to create payable invoices as well as agreements for your clients using AI to write them. I'm really excited to kick things off with a special guest today. We have a creative that is the creative of the creatives. Our guest today falls into that category of just the kind of creative I always look up to. We have Asia Rivera. For those of you who don't know, Asia is my favorite creator. Asia does everything from modeling to creative directing, and I personally get chills every time I see what she creates, and I'm grateful to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so I want to kick things off by just like applauding you. I think every single time like I open like my timeline or home screen or stories or TikTok or live, you're there. You are always constantly in this like creative mode, and I look up to it personally. So I just congratulate you on that.
Thank you so much. Sometimes it's really hard to, you know, keep up with the flow, especially because things have changed so much since like just posting photos and like that's being it. Like I remember on Instagram when you posted one photo and that was it. That was your post. So it's like sometimes it's hard to keep up with so many different things, but it makes me feel good that, you know, you enjoy it. So that means at least I'm doing something right.
Absolutely. One thing I've noticed is for people who like tend to create a lot of content frequently is this like compromise in content. Like you're just kind of like focusing on, I need to post Monday, I need to post Tuesday, I need to create a story, I need to live. Whereas when I look at your posts, it just doesn't feel like there's a compromise. It just feels like you put like 100% effort in everything that you do consistently. So from a curious standpoint, want to know like how you get yourself even just the energy to be able to be, you know, so consistent in creating as often as you do.
Yeah, I think I just overall, I feel like things are just so different now where it's like when I first started doing creative stuff, it was purely just for enjoyment and it still is for enjoyment. But I feel like there's so many doors that are available now when it comes to creating content or, you know, modeling or even just taking photos, that it kind of motivates me to see what other doors can I open for myself by doing something that I enjoy. So I feel like that makes it really easy for me to consistently like be creating in different forms and different styles.
Okay. So you kind of speak on this like enjoyment piece, which I kind of want to dive into a little bit. What was the day ones like? Like, how did you discover that, first of all, you even liked to create, let alone in this medium?
Yeah, I guess in high school, I kind of always was creative, just growing up, like with my grandmother, like I guess starting from way back when I would be with my grandmother and we would just always be creating arts and crafts. And she was always just really big into arts and crafts. And I feel like she really helped me be who I am today because I'm so free and wanting to create and stuff. So in high school, I was really insecure and things like that. My mom had booked me a photo shoot, and then I kind of fell in love with doing modeling and being photographed. And then I realized all that actually goes into different photo shoots. Like I didn't realize that there were like, you know, fashion and like sports and like different kinds of photography. It's like you growing up, you see commercials and you think like, oh, that's far out. Like that could never be me, or even TV shows and stuff like that. So I feel like that really made me want to explore more like into the field of being a creative or being, you know, a model and things like that. And that really kind of opened doors for me exploring wise.
For sure. So what do you think kind of like motivated your grandmother to want to nurture that creative side of you?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. As long as I've known, she's always been into arts and crafts. Like I'm talking like she would have bins of like organize different things, and like we would always go to the craft store and pick out stuff. Like I remember my dad would always be entered into this contest at his job for like the best Santa Claus hat, and one year we put like a train around it and like all this stuff. And I spent a lot of time with her because like my parents were really young, so my dad was always like working and stuff. And I don't know, I guess her just knowing I was a kid and knowing I'd probably be interested in that stuff, and then after a while I was interested in it, she was just like, oh yeah, like we're rocking, like so I think that definitely.
I think there might be a little bit of trace of like you pass down what you know as a creative, like
yeah.
That kind of reminds me of my grandmother, who she was really into like salsa dancing but also like playing the piano. So as a kid, like she would sit me on her lap and then take like these different like stickers, like this is the A key, the B key, like the C key, E key, like, and just like label them and try to teach me how to play the piano. And yep. I was, yeah.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah, I was pretty difficult to like, it was pretty difficult for me to like stay focused in doing that, but like I did appreciate her efforts, and I feel like it kind of like fostered like this understanding that there's an importance within some sort of creative medium, which
yeah.
This kind of leads me to this naturally. You started Lit Mommy.
I did, my brand. Yes. Yeah, so Lit Mommy is a brand that I created mostly to just influence and create a platform where other mothers could come and see that, you know, having a child is not something that has to stop you or has to, you know, control your whole life. You can still follow your dreams, whether that be a desk job or whether it be something creative. It doesn't mean that your life is over. So Lit Mommy is a platform to fuel your creativeness and fuel your life. And yeah.
I think I saw like one of the messagings being like, correct me if I'm wrong, but something along the lines of like, children should not necessarily like stop you, but like more so empower your creativity.
Yes, exactly.
How do you feel? How is that sort of like manifested in your life with your everything you do creatively, and like balancing that with like being a mother?
So definitely, like, I mean, stereotypically, like you feel like once you have a child and you're young, you know, your life is over. You can't travel, you know, you can't go out with your friends, not as often, or say. So I feel like it's definitely just, I'm trying to think of how to word it. Like, I want to be better for my kids. So I use them as a way to fuel to better myself, because if I'm not investing in myself, if I'm not going after my dreams, what do they really have to look up to? You know, I want them to be able to say, yeah, like, you know, my mom kept chasing her dreams. My mom did this, my mom did that. Even though she had children, like, she didn't let that stop her drive or her passion for what she wanted to do. Because at the end of the day, everything I do is for myself and for them. So, yeah.
Have you seen some of that like creative gene like spark up in them a little bit?
Oh yeah, my daughter just last week, she's like, I want to do a colorful photo shoot, and then she shows me like the poses that she's gonna do. She's like, do you like them? And I'm like, yeah, girl, like you're gonna eat it up, like. And she's really good at styling, and sometimes she'll come to me, mommy, can you please style my outfit today? You always know what to pick. And I'm like, but it's always so fun to see like what she puts together, and I'm like, okay, that's a look, like. So it's really nice that, you know, she knows that she can feel comfortable like showing me her poses. And when I was her age, like I was too shy to even stand in front of a camera, or like she'll dance at adult parties that like family parties I've brought her to, whereas though like at her age I was like standing in the corner. So I think me having as much confidence as I do, it definitely trickles down into her, into being able to be confident enough to be creative and stuff.
Wow, that's awesome. It's like a side effect of like who you are as a person just like spreading around in your own household.
They make me like so proud. Like Cypress, she's only 8 months, so you know, she's still got a little ways to go, but I know with her sister by her side, like she'll be even more creative than her.
I don't know if you remember this, but initially when I was starting Clora, I was doing like customer like user interviews with like everyone that I found that was like creative like within the area. Yeah, and we yeah, thank you. We hopped on a Zoom call, and I remember just like after getting off of that Zoom call being like, dang, like, this is why I want to build in this space. And I remember one of the things that kind of like made me feel that way was I was so like used to putting creatives in a bubble. Like, this is a person who's a great photographer. This is a person who is a great model. This is a person who's a great this, and only in those bubbles. And then when I got off the call with you, I remember feeling like you cannot put Asia in a bubble. Like, you just cannot do it. Like, even if you tried, there's so many things that Asia's good at and like really like excellent at. So I kind of am curious, like, what does like your day to day, like you creating like a big project look like? Like, do you do like design? Do you do like reach out to people? Do you set it up? Do you model? Like, what does your creative process look like?
Yeah, so of course it definitely depends, but I guess for reference, I'll use a brand shoot that I did, well, a campaign rather, back in January, where I had to scout the models, style, jewelry, and clothing, and I had to creative direct it. So I like to tackle everything one at a time. So first I would start with like my idea, I guess, like how I want to go about it, what I want the setting to be. So if I want it to be more lifestyle-y, or if I want it to be more editorial, or if I want it to appeal to like party goers or something like that. So I would start there. And then after that, I would scout my models. I guess models that I know can bring the look that I'm looking for. So I kind of go down a whole bunch of lists of people that I think would be interested. And then after that comes the styling, because now I have sizes and I know what appeals to the skin tone of people and things like that. So after that, then I kind of jump more into wrapping the idea and the styling together, so that they complement each other. And then from there, it's kind of just everything falls into place. I create a mood board somewhere in there. And of course, in the beginning of like the client reaching out to me, I would send over that mood board so they know the direction that I want to go through. Right. So yeah.
What has been like that framework of interacting with clients, like from like the initial conversation to, you know, sending over like a delivery? What's that look like for you?
So it kind of depends. So usually they'll reach out to me. I'm trying to gear more to reaching out via email, of course. Everybody's ideal, but some people are still happy using social media. So sometimes you kind of just gotta just go with the flow. People would reach out to me, well, clients will reach out to me, ask if I'm available, and then we'll go from there, where they ask me, you know, what's my rate. Sometimes I'll ask, you know, if they have a budget in mind. It kind of just depends, you know, bigger clients, you kind of know they have the budget for it. smaller clients, you know, you're just trying to find that happy medium. Because also I do, like, I know everybody has to start from somewhere. Like, I'm not going to lowball myself, but I do know at one point, like, I didn't have the budget to work with certain people. So I'm kind of like a people person. So I really enjoy, being able to create relationships with the clients that I have. So yeah, and then after that is kind of just the process that I told you about, you know, moving forward, they'll send over a deposit, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, that's awesome.
It's around time for that. Usually sometimes I'll hear like, you know, okay, I'll get back to you at the end of the week, because sometimes there's like back end stuff, you know, you have to get approval for certain things, find locations, confirm photographers, stuff like that. So yeah.
How did you get into like working with those types of clients, and like how would you like advise someone who would be like considering going down that path?
Yeah, so really it's just a matter of putting yourself out there and being confident in yourself. There were times where, you know, I was just starting out, and you kind of just have to have all your ducks in a row without having your ducks in a row. So present yourself as if you know what you're doing, even if you don't, kind of like fake it till you make it kind of thing. And also with the use of social media, like I would just tag brands and create content for, you know, how I think they would like it. And sometimes that would bring clients in. Also just old fashioned email pitching, you know, as long as you have like, I personally would say, as long as you have, like, let's say if you're wanting to work with a photographer for like your brand or something, as long as you have an idea in mind, like, hey, I want to do this, blah, blah, blah. And they see you're not just like, okay, somebody just reaching out and they want me to do all the work. Like, you know, So I would say definitely I recommend, having some kind of format when you reach out to people.
How would you advise in terms of creating that format? Like, what do you think people should like have in consideration when thinking through those kinds of things?
I think people should definitely consider the budget for sure. I think people should definitely consider having photo references to what they're looking for so that there's no miscommunication for the delivery. And I think people should also consider what they can bring to the table. Be upfront about it. It's like fake it till you make it, but don't fake it too much because they're gonna find out. So to a certain extent.
What would you like people to know about you?
I definitely want people to know that I'm very passionate about the art that I put out into the world. I want to create art that motivates and resonates well with Black mothers and Black women in general, as well as the rest of the Black community. I take a lot of pride in the work that I put out, and I want it to stay around. I want my work to be timeless. I don't want my work to just be something you scroll past and, that's it. So I take a lot of pride in my work for that reason.
I love it. So if you're listening in and you're trying to figure out your creative, just think about it like this. You do not have to put yourself in any kind of box or any kind of bubble. You do not have to limit yourself. Just think about what you like. Like we've heard, timelessness is an important thing. Inspiring others is an important thing. And don't feel limited by like family and external things. We've seen Lit Mommy happen. We've seen children not get in the way, but empower a creative. So if you're listening to this and you feel inspired by this story, check out some more of this.
You're so funny. Are you gonna redo it? Or are you just gonna go with it?
Raw. We'll leave it just like that.